Half or not. All right. Take your Bibles. Go to Romans 14, verse 1. Romans 14, verse 1. The title of this message is, Hey Christian, Get Over Yourself. Hey Christian, Get Over Yourself. So make a note. And if your name's Christian, I don't mean you particularly. I'm talking about the people who believe in Jesus Christ and who act like Jesus, except in certain areas. All right? Now, if I knew, listen, this is something that I wished had been preached to me or taught to me, because I'm going to kind of do both tonight. I wish somebody had taught this to me 10 years ago. I would have been a better Christian. Our church will be better if the people in this room apply this message tonight. Now, you can hear it and agree with it, or you can hear it and disagree with it and not apply it and walk out of here, and we'll have to be the same. That's with every message I preach. But this one could bring almost any church into a place where the members love one another and fellowship with one another. Because it takes all your defenses away and all your differences away. Well, not all of them, but the big things. Y'all ready? Let's give you a little background, a little work on this. The Roman church was full of Orthodox Jewish men and Gentiles who had just been saved. Do y'all understand what the problem of that is? The problem of that is you got a group of people who had nothing but laws and rules and order. And you got a bunch of people who heard, Jesus forgives you of your sin. That's it. He's the whole ball of wax. They're living in total freedom. And these folks are living, man, the Jewish, they're trying to learn how to live. It's like they're in rehab. Does anybody know what rehab is? Not drug rehab. I know what that is. I'm talking about rehab where you learn how to walk after you've been like paralyzed for a while, or you've been sick for a long time, or you've had a busted knee and you have to learn how to walk again. You understand? Are y'all tracking? So they're living in this Christianity, and everybody in here, I guarantee you this, you either come from a real legalistic background of church, or you come from a real like, man, Jesus is it. And when you have those two coexisting in the church, what do you do? Well, guess what? Paul wrote Romans chapter 14, the constitution of the New Testament Christianity for people like us. Because this is still going on in the church today. Every bit of it. Every bit of it's still going on. It's not in the things that we're going to say so much here, but I guarantee you you'll see something. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready to have some fun on a Wednesday night? Let's have fun, okay? I'm going to teach this. I'm going to preach it. If you're not saved, there's a free gift of salvation. You come down here and ask God to save you because you're a sinner, and He will. And guess what? All this will apply to you. Amen? All right, good. That's a quick accept Jesus moment, all right? For the rest of you, I'm preaching you as if you're saved. I don't know if you are or not. But if you're not, you're missing out on the greatest gift and the greatest life you've ever experienced. If you want that, you can have that. We can preach finances, you can get that. We can preach about what we're about to preach about, you can get that. Y'all ready? This is exciting stuff. Gary's going to help me in a minute. I want to read this. Listen to this. Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful dispositions. Disputations. It's better, right? Disputations. Okay, I read that and I don't have a clue, right? Gary, will you do me a favor? Will you read that verse for me? Okay, get that? No, listen, y'all get that? Write that down, make a note. That to the guy that has weak faith, everybody in here almost said, oh, that's me. No. The guy that has weak faith, the girl that has weak faith, the person that has weak faith, when they come in here, you got to accept, you say, man, I love you. I love you. Come on into our church. Have a seat. And we're not asking you to come in here and we're going to wrestle you into what we believe. Right? You're going to do what we tell you to do. right? That's what it says. We're not going to have quarrels. We're going to welcome people in here. The ones that are weak of faith. God, y'all are about to get hit in the gut, though. Anybody want a good gut punch? Because you're going to be surprised who the weak in faith are. Dun, dun, dun. Right? I know it's different tonight. Just hang with me. I know I'm a fire breather and I get all excited and I preach. Tonight, I just want to have, man, this is good stuff. You'll be a better Christian if you get this. That's why I'm kind of like a kid, excited. You understand? All right, listen. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another is weak, he eateth herbs. Y'all get that? One guy, he can eat anything. All meats except. The Roman got saved, he's like eating a pork sandwich. You understand what I'm saying? He's coming in with some baby back ribs. Chili's baby back ribs. You know, he comes in, he's like, hey guys, the Orthodox Jews in the church are like, what are you doing? You understand? They're ticked off. But what they're saying is, Jesus said, it's all clean. All we got to do is say, Jesus, thank you for the ham. Thank you for the ribs. Good eating, right? Y'all getting me? The Jews sitting over there going, you are wicked. You are vile. That is corrupt. Are y'all getting this? Listen, okay, somebody that are a stickler for, well, you shouldn't wear this, you shouldn't wear that, you should only read this, you shouldn't read that, shouldn't watch this, shouldn't watch that. Are you getting me? Got full rule. Okay, somebody comes in here, man, God saved me, man, I've got liberty. I mean, I got liberty. And they're like, oh, I hate your liberty. You shouldn't be doing that. It's wrong. Watch. Y'all, it's going to blow your minds because it blew mine. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Did y'all get that? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Are y'all getting that? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his master, and he standeth for all, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every man like, every man fully persuaded of his own mind. Look, run back to verse 2. I skipped it. Golly, I was sitting there in my mind going, Kevin, where's that word at? And I tried to keep reading through it, thinking I was going to run into it, but I missed it in verse 2. Go back to verse 2. Check this out. One that may eat all things. Now, you got him. And another who is weak. Okay, y'all see that one? The one who's weak, he eateth herbs. Who's the one of weak faith? Who's the one of weak faith? It's the guy who's legalistic. It's the guy who's legalistic. Guy who says, now, and it's going to be repetitive all the way through this chapter. That's why I went back and got it. It's the person who's got weak faith who leans constantly on the law or the order or the tradition. You got me? They're going to lean on it, okay? Well, I'm not eating that kind of meat. I'll just eat salad. Now, salads are good. I ain't going to knock salads. I'm just saying. I'm going to eat vegetables because I shall not corrupt myself with this vile food. They're living, they're still trying to be under the law, so God considers them the weak ones. I didn't make that up. It's in there. Don't get mad at me. Then don't go bucking against me tonight going, well, I don't like the way you teach this. I didn't. Paul wrote it. I'm just going back. The one that was weak is the one who's constantly putting a handcuff or a rule on somebody who's totally free. Man, did y'all get that? Because if you got to leave it here tonight with this. The guy who came in eating the pork rib sandwich was free. Because you know what he was saying? Hey, I don't care if the meat's clean or not. It's meat. It's clean through Christ Jesus. I don't have to eat right. You understand? I don't have to eat a certain way to be a holy with God. I'm good. You know? The other guy in the room is going, I have to eat right to be holy with God. You know what God said? Now listen, look at verse 3. God, this is so good. This is me in a nutshell. I mean, this one is me. Look at verse 3 with me. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Oh, have I. Oh, do I. Oh, do I. See, I come out of a legalistic background. Really legalistic. When I got out and started living in the freedom, wearing blue jeans on a Wednesday night, preaching in blue jeans from where I come from preaching, you are a lunatic. I mean, this is crazy. It's crazy. But you know what I figured out? God didn't care whether I had blue jeans on or He... No, I'm serious. God don't make polyester. I thought polyester blend. That's God's blend. I had a man tell me that one. Hey, got polyester blend. That's what you wear. Hey, it's a good blend. I said, God, you mean God? What about corduroy? Never mind. I got sideways. Yeah, you got to stay with me. But you understand what I'm saying? The guy who is free is the guy who trusts that God is enough for everything. But guess what? Once you get to that free place, once you do reside in that, you still can't hate somebody, despise somebody because they're legalistic or living under a law or leaning on their tradition. You've got to say, maybe one day they'll get to the free place. But they're still my brother and sister in Christ. So I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to love them and I'm going to try not to offend them. I'm not going to put pork sandwich all up in their grill. Hear me? Now listen, I got a rule now. I'm trying to preach this. I want you to get this. I've got great friends who are, if I came to their church like this, I'm going to preach, they'd say, not tonight, you know? But if they call me and ask me, I don't say, call somewhere else, Jack. You know what I say? I'll be there. You know what I do? I conform to them in their house. You hear me? And if they ask me, do you always wear that? No, I don't. And if that disqualifies me, it's okay. But I'll come to their house. I'm not going to rub my liberty in their face. I'm not going to say, I'm free and you're not and you're wrong. I'm going to say, hey, this is what God's placed on my heart. You good? Is this setting some people free? Y'all get this? This is like medicine to your soul. If you know what I'm talking about, man, I've read this 100 times, but this time it kind of opened up. Because God does that to you. You know, somebody said, why do you keep reading the Bible over and over and over? Because sometimes your mind's just closed to something, but when it pops open, you're like, wow, that was in here? And I've never heard this preached anywhere. I've never heard it preached. Now, I'm not saying it hadn't. I'm just saying I've never heard it. And I know ain't nobody ever preached the way I'm preaching tonight. Because I'm giving it to you like, look, there's a lot of freedom in what we're doing here. You understand? All right, let's get it. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, he eateth to the Lord, and he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Wow! Wow! Do you know what this is saying? Let the individual Christian be who he wants to be or who she wants to be in these matters. Are y'all starting to see it? Is the picture starting to develop? Is the Polaroid starting to come out? Never mind. Whoa. Okay, I got about half of you on the generation of the Polaroid deal there. I have no idea what this year's generation is talking about on this. But a Polaroid, you took a picture and you had to wait. This generation had no idea what waiting for anything is. But you had to wait for the outcome. And you did this with it that had no effect on the outcome of the picture, but you got so intent of waiting, you had to get it done. Right? The Polaroid was awesome because otherwise you had to roll film, you had to send it to somebody and wait and go back another day and pick it up. Oh, never mind. Lesson over. Are y'all starting to see it develop right here? Why in the world would Paul be covering this? Because this is the foundation. This is the New Testament church starting in a country that has more to do and more. It's almost more assembled like America than any other country. That had a history. The Roman Empire is like America. This is something that we as Gentiles can grab hold of. And he said he knew we'd be going through this. So the development is, listen, I want you to hear this. I want you to get this done in your heart. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get rid of all the stuff that don't matter. You hear me? Because if you don't watch it in the church, you'll be arguing and fussing and fighting over the things that really don't matter. That's why we have a church and 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 a church. And we split and they split and they split and we split and they split. Because they probably, if you go back and argue, if you talk about it, they got in an argument about we don't do this. And we believe the Lord. And somebody says, we do that and we believe the Lord. You hear me? What do you see the contrast? One dude over is going, man, this is some good food, and God has given, and man, this is awesome. And one dude's over going, I'm not eating because I'm sanctifying my body as a temple to the Lord, and God is good. It's polar opposites. Some people are going to be polar opposites of how you do faith. But as long as they believe that Jesus Christ, I almost poked myself in the eye. As long as, man, that'd been bad. We would have had some fun on a Wednesday night. As long as they believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for their sins. As long as they believe that He was born of a virgin. As long as they believe He was placed in a tomb. As long as they believe 3 days later He raised from the grave. As long as they believe that we received the Holy Spirit. As long as they believe that we're going to heaven someday. I don't care what your eating habits are. What your clothing habits are. Why you do this or why you don't do that. It's going to be strange. It's going to be weird. But can we not just get along? Can we get off the focus of why you're doing that and why I'm doing this? Can we not then come together on those big beliefs? Can we not come together on the big beliefs and say, yeah, our country's going down. We've got kids that need help. We need people. We need to get wherever God's placed us. We've got to figure that where He wants us to work as a church in this community instead of us up here battling each other. Why don't we come together on the big stuff? That way we can help somebody instead of them showing up and going, wait a minute, can y'all pray right here just for a second? Why in the world would we want to go there because they don't even like each other? Why would I want to go somewhere and put my family in that and be a part of that if they don't like each other? If your biggest enemy's in this building, you're doing faith wrong. Amen? Your biggest enemy is Satan. Your second biggest enemy is yourself. Amen? And sometimes those dudes switch positions. No, y'all don't like that, but it's true. Sometimes, that old devil, he done that. Nuh-uh, that was you. Right? That was you. The devil's over. He's in Georgia, right? Playing a fiddle. Like, I didn't do that. I was playing. Y'all don't know that one either reference. I was down there. I didn't do that one. I'll take credit for it, but I didn't do it. Right? Are you good? I want y'all to get that. Hey, listen, then the next one is this world. It's the world. Not the people of the world, the world. Your enemy's against the world, the enemy's against you. Amen? Oh, that's a whole other message. Y'all get it? Are y'all learning stuff? Well, hey, let this stick on the sticky side of your mind where it don't get loose. Wherever that is, find it. Some of you have to find that spot. Amen? Golly, y'all should have laughed at that. It was good. It was real good. 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. This is good stuff. This is kind of where I wanted to get to with the whole message, but I've been preaching for, 30 minutes already? For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Just write a note right there. If you write in your Bible, if you're one of them crazy radicals that write in your Bible, and if you're not, take a note somewhere else. God's in control. Listen, God's so in control. He's in control when you're living, and He's in control when you're dying. Amen? So when you die, guess what? God's not out of control. So don't show up at the hospital, don't show up at the funeral, don't show up in the places of the funeral, don't show up places. Why, God, why? Listen, God says this, He's in control. Amen? We got an appointed time. Hebrews 9:27. We got an appointed time. Everybody in this room's got an appointed time. He's given you. Somebody told me this one time. Everybody in this room's got a appointed time, and you got a purpose in your life. And if you feel that purpose early, God says, I need them in heaven. Come on. You know, God, I don't want to preach on heaven, Lord. Yeah, I have a conversation with God every once in a while. But listen, we got it all backwards. And y'all have heard me preach. I've preached this more times here than y'all can count. And that's okay, because I'll do it again. We think of heaven like, oh, that's, why did you do it? God's like, once you get here, you would have been saying, God, let me get to the verse. God. Can I just preach from the verse? Look at verse 8. I was going to try to hold it to the end, but I couldn't keep trying to get out. Look, for whether we live under the Lord. All right, y'all got that part? I started out a devotion this week. This whole message come from a 5-minute devotion at 6 o'clock in the morning before we had to take some kids all the way up to North Ray County. And I was you ever tried to cram Jesus in about 6 minutes? Guess what? You cram him into 6 minutes, he'll make a message out of it. If you give him a little bit of time, he'll give you amazing stuff. Some of y'all give excuses. Well, God just didn't have time. Give him 3 minutes of passion. I mean, I'm sitting there, man, we've been getting up every day this week at 5:30. I'm just sitting there, I mean, it's 6 going, come on, Jesus. You know what he said? We live. This all came from devotion. This part right here did. The rest of the message is all me and God. But this right here is from a devotion. Amen. Why are we still alive? Why are we still here? Right? Why are we still here? Because you know what? It'd been better if God, the minute you got saved, he'd say, come on up. Amen? Well, what's the guy that got translated? Somebody help me. He walked with the Lord and he was Enoch. Thank you. I just went brain dead. Enoch, it said he pleased the Lord and he walked with the Lord and one day God translated him. Where's that package? Where's that one, right? I'm going to get the Noah package, right? Jump in the boat, ride through the storm, go through all the stuff. Where's the Enoch package? Enoch package, saved, let's go, right? Zoom. Where's Enoch? God took him, right? What is it, Elijah? Threw his mantle down to Elijah. Chariots come. He's probably a couple hundred yards that way. No. He jumped on a chariot of fire and rode on out. What? Where's that, right? That's what I'm talking about. Why aren't we still alive? God, give me that pack. No. We got to live life. Why? We got to live under God. Why do we got to live under God? First of all, we got to sow seed. We got to sow the gospel. I said this in the message. If you hadn't listened on Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit is not going to do anything without a vessel. So guess what? When God saves you, He placed the Holy Spirit in you. And then guess what? You are a sower of the seed of the gospel. You are to sow the gospel. You're supposed to testify. And guess what? You are supposed to be someone who breaks up fallow ground. Is that right? Fallow ground? Does that somebody tell me if that's true? Because I'd hate to be wrong. The hard ground, is that fallow? God, nobody in here knows. Where's all of our farmers at? Farming. All right, farming. They're farming. That's fine. That's what they do. I'm just saying they're breaking up the hard ground. Okay, let's just put it in layman's terms that Kevin knows. Some of us are made to break up hard ground. Is there anybody in here that's hard ground? Ever been hard ground? None of you? You're a bunch of liars. All right. I was. Man, every time I read the parable of the sower, you know, after I figured out I got saved, I was that hard ground like a lot. Y'all know what that is? Well, I'll preach that whole message right here for you. No, just a quarter of it. Listen, the hard ground, I almost did it again. The hard ground is the ground that it's between the rows. You know, you got your corn, you got your beans, you got your potatoes, all that stuff. And you walk up and down the rows, and the rows in between the rows get packed down, right? And they're hard. The seed falls on that. The birds come by and swoop and get it and take the seed off. It never hits the ground. Man, that's me about 15 years. I mean, I wish I had a pocket full of seed right now, Gene. I'd hit everybody here with it. Boom, boom, boom. It's like, bing, 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 bing. The special, I just go, bing, bing, bing. I mean, that stuff was, Russ, whatever happened to you? Come to church, just bouncing, 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 you know, just, and it's just standing there, and you come out, I mean, as soon as you walk out of here, the bird comes by, the devil comes by, snatches that seed. The word was good. I used to do that. I'd go to church, I'm like, man, that's good. I need that. I get half a, boom. Man, where'd I go to do what I do, right? Right? Hard-headed, hard-headed, right? That's what that is, okay? So look, that's you're here, guess what? We're here to break up some hollow ground, some hard ground. We're here to break that up. You know what? We're supposed to wear people down. Not wear them down like they see you and go, oh, crud, here he comes. Amen? Now, oh, crud, not that person, not that mean old Christian. Listen, I was mowing the other day and God told me this. If you're a mean Christian, take the Christian part off your deal. That's good, isn't it, Mel? Amen. Just call yourself the mean person. When you drop the mean, you can put the Christian back on. Because Christian just means Christ-like. Christ just wasn't mean. Amen? If you're just being mean to be mean's sake, guess what? You're a mean person. Ooh. If you add Christ, you'll drop the mean part, and you can tell people hard stuff, even though it's hard stuff, if they know it's coming from a place of love. Amen? If you tell somebody how I'm worried, hey, listen, you're lost. You're living in sin. And you're weeping, and you tell them, I've been praying for you. I've been seeking God on your behalf. I love you enough to pray for you, and I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to avoid you. I'm going to keep loving you, and I'll keep coming around you. I'll eat lunch with you. I'll drink coffee with you. I'll hang out with you, but you need Jesus. I hear people all the time. They give me this stuff. Well, we just got to love them to Jesus. You got to love them with truth. Because just loving somebody around them, man, that's cool. But you got to add some truth to it and even know the relationship. When you know the relationship, you can add the truth. And because they know that you care and they trust you, the truth may hurt, but they'll go, they did that because they loved me. Ah, that's good preaching, preacher. I told you I was going to try to teach, but sometimes I get excited. We're here to break up that fallow ground. And then we're here to herald the coming of the King. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scott said it at the end of his song, this world, this country, this thing's getting bad. It is getting bad. But praise God, we're the only people that should have a big old smile on our face. We're the ones that walk around going, man, joy to the Lord. What are you talking about? Why are you so happy? Why is this? Man, everything I read in the book is happening, and if it's happening, then that's happening. What's happening? That joker's going to Jesus. I call him a joker, is going to come out of the eastern sky and bring us all home. Amen, preacher. Don't go out of here telling people I call Jesus a joker. Man, I lost all my preaching credentials in two words. The joker. Sorry. Yes. I hope so. All right, let's go back to verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Man, for years. Now listen, this gives me a whole... That in a broader scheme is great. Have you heard this verse, right? Right. No. Look, let me go one more. Let me show you this in verse 11. For it is written... Y'all good? As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Are y'all good? Now, in a broader spectrum, if I just pull that verse out by itself, that's got a heavy weight to it, don't it? You can go to somebody and say, look, man, someday you're going to stand everybody. And that holds weight. But in context, this is good, though, right? Because what he's saying is, I don't know if y'all can handle this. Can y'all, somebody give me a permission. Can y'all handle this? I want y'all to hear this. What he's saying right here is if you'll drop these little things and let God handle it in the end. Oh, let me say it this way, the way I'd say it. It's not your job. Woohoo! It's not your job to wear people out. About them not eating or eating, them wearing or not wearing, this. You know what I'm saying? As long as they're not being heretical. That means they're telling you some other gospel. long as they're not coming in here saying, we all need to start drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, we're not even doing that. We're just talking about, look, we're not doing this because God. Listen, God said, I will sort that out. And can I tell y'all something? Let me give you another verse or two because I'm going to end, okay? I know I'm sporadic, but this is fun, ain't it? Y'all had time in your life tonight? I have. Watch this right here. Watch. So every one of us shall give an account. Verse 12. So every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. Y'all going to stop that tonight? Okay, maybe you will. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know what he's saying? We're all going to stand, the church, us, we're all going to stand before God. Amen? And the people that gave the stumbling block, I'll hit them first because I don't like them the most. But, no, I shouldn't say that. I just said something that's totally opposite of my whole message. But anyway, that's terrible. Okay, when you put legalistic stumbling blocks and people won't come to the church, that's what God's saying. You're going to be judged for that. Even though you believed with all your heart, I'm doing this because God told me and God said. And guess what? God probably did. Now listen, God will put convictions. Some of y'all might want to make a side note right here. God will give you convictions. There will be some things that you can't do. Not because a man said so. It's because God placed him on my heart. I've got convictions. I guarantee you I got some convictions that some of y'all don't have. And you got some convictions that I don't have. Amen? But when I take my conviction block and set it in front of you, and it's not your conviction, and it hinders you from your relationship to God, coming to church, being in fellowship, being in the Word, hearing the prayer, getting all the stuff you're supposed to, all the benefits of God, so you stay out because of that block that I set in front of you, you're in trouble. Because God will say, that was not of me, that was of you. Now can I nail me? I'm going to nail me. This will make up for the part where I said I didn't like the word. I'm going to nail me. Now, if I'm all free and happy, and I'm like, oh, Jesus set me free, I can do whatever I want to do. Right? But if I get outside that bounds, amen, and I just want to act out to be acting out, are you hearing me? I'm just going to wear this because I'm just going right in your face. And God says, don't. I don't know about clothes, but I'm saying there's a couple times that I'll stand there in the mirror and God said, no. And I'm like, it was probably the day I wore the purple jacket. No, I was kidding. I like the purple jacket. Y'all get out of here. No, but I'm saying, I stood, you know, God, and God says, no. God said, no. I'm like, what? No. Okay. But Lord, why? Is it because of them? No, it's because of you. Because you can't wear that because I don't want you to wear that. You're doing that because of you. You're going to go down there and people are going to have their attention on you. I want them to have their attention on me. You hear me? So even in all your liberty and all your freedom, you can do stuff that you're pulling attention away from God and it's pulling you. And guess what? You'll stand there. That's a hindrance to some people. That'll be a hindrance. And you know what? They'll sit there the whole service and they'll watch you and they'll be mad at you and they'll be upset with you on purpose. Woo! That got deep, didn't it? It's good? Man, this is one of the best messages I've ever heard. Not because I preached it. It's because I want to live this. Our church will be in love and fellowship if we can learn to look at each other and say, wait, that's just how they feel that God's placed in our heart. And if He has, they're serving God to their full capacity. Let them alone. Wow. Man, wow. You know how many people would probably have been rescued if they had heard this and applied it? Well, guess what? Too much is given as much as required. Now you have the information. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to learn how to love one another? And are you going to learn how to fellowship with somebody who don't jive with you on everything you believe in? Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if you could just say, you know what? I don't agree with what they're doing. Guess what? They seem like they believe in Jesus. They believe in all the stuff I believe in. They just don't eat that. That's okay. Amen? At one party, one group didn't give reverence to any day. All days belong to God. It's a good day. Let's have church on Tuesday. They're like, are you crazy? The Sabbath's on Saturday. Man, do you think this was hard for Paul to write? That's the last question I'll ask. Scott, come on, Scott. Everybody stand up. Do you think that was hard for Paul to write? Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was an Orthodox Jew times 100. He's sitting here burying the law and the rules and the traditions slowly, and it don't seem like he has a problem with it. Ain't that cool? Did anybody learn anything tonight? Raise your hand if you learned something. Now keep your hand up if you're going to apply something. If you're not, let your hand down. Okay, some of y'all didn't know what to do. I'm going to apply this message. All right, 16 of you are going to apply it. Scott, just give us a song of invitation. If God's dealt with your heart on, has nothing to do with this message. If you want to come pray, we always like to give everybody an opportunity to come and talk to the Lord.